Okay, Rabbi Nosai, we're about to begin Yerideya Simin Tzadiches Se'if Hei. Now, the dinim in Tzadiches Se'if Hei come from the Torah, and they seem relatively understandable until kind of we pick up the hood and we get beneath the hood, and then it gets complicated. So we're going to try to simplify the complicated, no? I was thinking about this many times, that there are two different types of Rashi Yeshiva. Certain Rashi Yeshiva, like Rav Schechter, for example, whose godless is that no matter how complicated something is, he can make it simple. Then there are other Rashi Yeshiva, I would say Rabbi Rosenzweig falls into this category to a certain extent, that no matter how simple something is, they try to show you how complicated it is. No? These are two different approaches to life. We're going to try to take something that's complicated and make it as simple as we can. So the din is that if I have only one kezayis that was absorbed, for example, I have a brand new keli, and that brand new keli then stirs a kezayis of chalav. So in that situation, I only have to be mevato a kezayis. That's pretty obvious, no? Again, the details over here, Reb Fava Cohen points out that according to the Igros Moshe that we spoke about yesterday, maybe even though I have a kezayis in the pot, I shouldn't have to mevatel full kezayis because I should look at how much remains in the pot after I stir with the spoon and then subtract the amount I originally had, right? But the pashtus is that we don't really hold like Reb Moshe, and the pashtus is if I stir a kezayis with a spoon, a brand new spoon, never used before, I have to mevato a kezayis. Great. Let's say I have a kaf, she'eno ben yomo. Let's say I have a spoon that absorbed, let's say, basar more than 24 hours ago, and now it absorbs chalav. So also, I only have to mevato the kezayis of chalav that it absorbs right now. Because anything that's eno ben yomo, the halacha disregards, it doesn't matter, we don't care about it. I only have to mevato the kezayis that went into that spoon right now. Nachon? Let's say I have a spoon, however, that the spoon was used many times today. And I'm using that spoon all day, and I'm stirring various things. So in that situation, I don't know how much chalav the spoon absorbed. So I have to mevatel the entire volume of that spoon. These dinim are pshutim ad lameod, right? This is pretty easy. If I use the spoon many times, I don't know how much the spoon absorbed. I have to mevatel the full volume of the spoon because it's not shayach that the spoon absorbed more than its volume. That would be impossible. So far, so good. What about, however, Mr. Rosenzweig, so far it's simple, so you can try to make it complicated.
When I say the whole spoon, are we talking about klipa of the external layer, or like including
the full volume of the spoon? In other words, if a spoon is thicker, it can hold more than if the spoon is thinner. How we estimate it, the Rishonim say, we do what we did in elementary school or in high school chemistry, that we fill up a graduated cylinder and we do displacement.
Why does the internal part of the spoon matter?
The halacha views that anything that's part of the spoon can absorb bleios. So if it's a thicker spoon, there's more inside, there could be more bleios. If it's a thinner spoon, there could be less bleios. I use the displacement value. That's what all the Rishonim say here.
But what's the bleios that stays in the center of the spoon?
It could be it's in the center of the spoon, it could be it's on the side. I don't know.
Like if you have shisha neged that klipa,
again, but I don't know, in a situation where I stirred many times, the case two that we gave, so I have to be worried that the full volume of the spoon is suffused with chalav, let's say. And therefore I have to mevato the full volume of the spoon. That is what the Rishon consider pashut, how we estimate the volume of the spoon? Displacement. Gevaldik. Now, the complicated case that the Rashba and the Ramban disagree with on Daf Aleph Amid Gimel of the Torah's Habayis is, let's say I have a spoon that previously, today, right, the morning I decided to use this spoon to make my oatmeal, with chalav in it. So absorbed chalav today. And then I used the same spoon later the same day to stir some meatballs. So that is machlokas Rashba and the Ramban. Can I say chanan in the balua shebekeli? When I have absorbed flavor in the keli, in this case, the keli absorbed cholov in the morning, and now it absorbs basar in the afternoon, can the cholov that was absorbed become treif based on the rule of chaticha nasis nevela? That is a machlokas. The Rashba says that we can say chaticha nasis nevela on the balua shebekeli. And the Ramban says a lashon of mistavra that we don't say chaticha nasas nevela on the balua shebekeli. Now mistavra means l'cha'ora that the Ramban is saying I don't have any rayas from Shas to this idea, but the raya that I have is what my Rebbe Rav Blachman told me in Eretz Yisrael. The raya, all the best raya you need is that your mind says so. God gave you a mind for a reason. That's the mistavra of the Ramban. Right? The Ramban is saying, I don't have a raya from Shas. Mistavra, as we. No? So Rashba says that there is chanan on the balua shebekeli, and the Ramban says there is no chanan on the balua shebekeli. We don't know exactly what the Ramban means by mistavra, but if you look in the Badei HaShochan Sifkatin 69, Sifkatin Samachtes, Reb Feivel gives a number of explanations. One explanation is that I can't say chanan on the balua shebekeli because chanan is a din only in oichlem. Chaticha nasas nevela means that the food becomes treif. But balua is not food. Balua is balua that is one pshat in the Ramban. Another pshat in the Ramban might be that I only say chanan if it's the normal way of cooking. And it's not the normal way of cooking when I'm cooking blias. Cooking blias, when I speak about cooking, so I take out a cookbook and they tell me how to cook. Blias is not like a normal way of cooking, unless you're like a super brisker. Right? So blias is not a normal way of cooking, so maybe that's the pshat why there's no chanan on the blias. Again, I'm not sure exactly what the Ramban means, but I know that according to the Ramban, there are no chanan on balios. And therefore, in our scenario, where I use my spoon to make oatmeal in the morning, then I use the same spoon in the afternoon for... I use the same spoon in the afternoon for meatballs, right? So I do not have to be mevata. I do not have to assume that the spoon became basar b'cholav, the blias became basar b'cholav. All I have to be mevato, let's say I stick it into a meat pot after, all I have to be mevato is the amount of cholav from the beginning. I don't assume that became basar b'cholav and it spread throughout the spoon based on the amount of meat that went in. No, I only have to be mevato the cholav, not the basar. Okay? Again, you could be creative with the numbers, but that's what the Ramban says. Now, lahalacha, how do I paskin in this machlokas between the Rashba and the Ramban? So the Beis Yosef says that although the Ran paskins like the Ramban, nonetheless the Beis Yosef understands that the Tur is paskining like the Rashba. Meaning, according to the Beis Yosef, and the Mechaber, who is the same person as the Beis Yosef, agrees with this idea. That means lahalacha that they are assuming that there is chanan on the balua. And you see this when you read Se'if Hei in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Mechaber writes that by Akaf Yeshana Misharim Bekula, that there is chanan on the balua. The Yesh Misha Omer, that you're not. Yesh Misha Omer being the Ramban. And the Mechaber, whenever he has a Stam Deya, followed by a Yesh Misha Omer, so the Mechaber paskins, like the Rashba, not like the Ramban, that there is Chanan Bibolua. Comes along the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe. And the Ramah jumps up and down and splits wood and nickels. And the Ramah says, whoa, let's go slowly. You're telling me that we hold Me'ikar Hadin, that there is Chanan on the Balua. That's not so simple. Because in Simen Kuf Zayin, there's the following case. Right? Waiter, there's a fly in my soup. Now, how do you find out there's a fly in your soup? Because you put your spoon into the soup and you take out the fly. No? So you have a fly that's in liquid in your spoon. Should my spoon become treif based on the chanan of the absorbed stuff that was in the spoon previously? Do I assume that the fly treifs up to shishim more than its volume? Or do I assume that when I set the spoon in a second time, I only have to be mevatel the volume of that fly? No? Flies are pretty small. If you multiply a fly by 60, it's bigger than just the fly itself. The Mechaber in Simin Kuf Zayin tells me that I only have to be mevatel the volume of the fly itself. I do not have to be mevatel the volume of the balua, which would be 59 more times or 60 more times than the volume of the fly. That sounds like, says the Darkan Moshe, that we assume that there is no chanan bibalua. And that would be like the opinion of the Ramban, not like the opinion of the Rashba. So the Darkan Moshe is basically asking that, hey, Beis Yosef, you are telling me that the Ikar Hadin is like the Rashba, that there is Hanan de Balua. If that's the case, so how come in Simen Kuf Zayin you only have to be mevatel the volume of the fly, right? If there is Hanan de Balua, you have to be mevatel the volume of the fly plus 59 more times than that. Ben, is this clear so far?
The kash is on the Machaber?
Yes. The Machaber slash Tor. In other words, everyone is putting their opinion into the Tor. Everyone's trying to shtup their opinion into the Tor. The Tor is like Rav Soloveitchik. It's a mirror that you look into. And anything that you say, you assume, right, the Rav said also. That's what the Tor is over here. That's actually not a bad mashal. But again, so the Mechaber says, the Beis Yosef says, that the Tor holds that there is Chanan Bebolua. The Darkei Moshe asks, but I see in Simen Kuf Zayin that there is no Chanan Bebolua. So the Darkei Moshe basically says that, you know what? You would get the impression that there is no Chanan Bebolua just if I take Simen Tzadi Ches and Simen Kuf Zayin. But I have another case later on in Shulchan Aruch that, let's say I am cooking cholent in a pot. And let's say there's a splatter of milk that comes onto the cholent pot while I'm cooking cholent. And let's say that splatter of milk is on the top of the cholent pot beyond the water level of the cholent. That's a din simin tzadi beisif dalet. By the way, these cases happen, you should know. Right? These cases happen, that I'm cooking cholent, and like somebody comes by, one of the kids, a face, comes by, and some milk spills on the top of the cholent pot while you're cooking the cholent. So the din is that if the milk hits the top of the cholent pot, so we assume that there is a bulia in the top of the cholent pot of basar b'cholav, and the top of the pot becomes treif. And the only way to solve that problem is to turn the cholent off right away and make sure it cools down. Because if you leave the pot hot, so I'm going to be pouring my previously kosher cholent over the treif area at the top of the pot, no?
Can you say that
again? Pot. Right? This is my pot. And here is my cholent. The cholent is the level of my cell phone. The cholov comes and hits the top of the pot.
Like the cover?
Let's say it's not the cover. Let's say the top of... The cover is a more complicated shayla. But let's say it is the top of the wall of the pot. It's right over here. So in that case, I assume that the cholov spreads inside the pot until the water level. The basar that was in the pot spreads throughout the entire pot, and the top of my pot is going to be treif. The bottom of my pot will not be treif, because the bottom of my pot, I have more than shishim of cholent compared to the one drop of cholov. But the top of my pot is treif.
Because we're not saying Chanan.
So that means we are saying Chanan on the bliyas in the top of the pot. There's no meat in the top of the pot. But there's bliyas of meat in the top of the pot. And I have a bliya of cholov in the top of the pot. That means I'm saying Chanan in the balua. So frekt the Ramah, I see from Simin Tzadi Beis that there is Chanan in Balua, and you get the impression from the Ramah that he really holds that there is Chanan in the Balua Lahalacha, as opposed to the way the Ramah understands what the Tur or the Medaber hold, that there is no Chanan in the Balua based on that proof from Simon Kuf Zion. So far, so good? Now, there is another discussion that appears here in the Rishonim and the Achronim, which complicates things a teeny bit more. Okay, this is the easy part. The harder part is, can there be a din of Chanan on the Guf HaKeli? Meaning, let's say I have a keli that has zero bliya in it, a brand new keli. But can I say that the keli itself becomes treif? Let's say I have a piece of chelev that hits a keli. Can the keli itself become treif of chaticha nasis neveila so that the full volume of the keli has to be assumed to be treif? And this issue comes from a Mordechai in Simin Tafresh Ayin Tes. By the way, for Sfaradim apparently pronounce it Mordechi, and Ashkenazim pronounce it Mordechai. I have no idea why, but that's what I heard from Rabbi Kalevsky, like during the 1 week that I was in his shir, when I was in Israel before I did tshuva. But the basic idea is, that there is a discussion whether the Guf HaKli, I could say Chanan on the Guf HaKli. Now the Shach, in Sif Katan Chaf Aleph primarily, the Shach assumes that this is a conceptual impossibility. The Guf HaKli cannot possibly be Chananized. By the way, I should add that Mordechai makes a distinction between Cheres and Eitz and Matefes on the other hand. The Mordechai says that Chaticha Nasis Nevela basically means that now it's a piece of treif. That's Chaticha Nasis Nevela. I can't say Chaticha Nasis Nevela on something that can become kasher. So eitz and mateches that can become kasher, it's not trying to say chaticha nasas neveila. But by cheres that cannot become kasher, I say chaticha nasas neveila on the cheres. The Shach and the Taz disagree about what that line means. The Shach said, thus is Zeir unmeglach. It's very unreasonable to assume that the Guf HaKeli becomes Chaticha Nasas Nevela, even if it's Cheres, not Shayach. Rather, says the Shach, the whole discussion in the Mordechai is about the Balua Shebekeli. In other words, the Mordechai is speaking about the same discussion that the Rashba and the Ramban had beforehand, and the Mordechai is distinguishing within that discussion between Cheres versus Mateches and Eitz. That by Cheres, I assume that there is Chanan in the Balua, but by Mateches and Eitz, there is no Chanan in the Balua. That is the way the Shach understands Judaism. The Taz, however, says that the conversation in that Mordechai and Simin Tav Reish Ayin Tes is entirely different than the conversation between the Rashba and the Ramban. That the Rashba and the Ramban are debating whether there is Chanan on the Balua, but the Mordechai is saying that by Cheres there is Chanan on the Guf HaKeli. That the Keli itself becomes Treif. So far, so good? Now, the Chavastas in Sifkat and Vav. I didn't tell you guys to read the Chavastas because the Chavastas is a little complicated. Right? Everything until now is simple. The Chavastas makes things complicated, no? So the Chavastas writes over here that he does not understand at all the Svara of the Taz. To say that the Cheres itself becomes Treif, Chaticha Nasas Nebeva on the Cheres, says the Chavastas, that's just like, I mean, the Shach has to be right, the Chavastas says. Because conceptually speaking, Chaticha Nasas Nebeva means if I have a piece of Basar, and that Basar absorbed Cholov, so I don't say I have to be mevato only the little bit of cholov that was absorbed in the basar. Rather, I have to be mevato the entire piece of basar. Right? That's chaticha nasas nevela. Now, chaticha nasas nevela only makes sense, right? We're talking about that piece of basar now falls into a second pot, and I need shishim keneged the entire piece of basar. Right? That's the din of chaticha nasas nevela. But l'chara, the reason why I have to be mevato something is because when it goes in the second pot, it is going to be giving off tam. But the cheres itself doesn't give off any tam. No? Let's say I take a piece of earthenware. And now I'm saying, according to the Taz's understanding of the Mordechai, that this piece of earthenware is now treif earthenware. Chaticha nasis nevela. Whoopee-doo! Who cares? That's chaticha nasis nevela, and the cheres itself is treif. That doesn't mean anything to me. Because even if the cheres is treif, but it's not lace and tam at all, right? It's just earthenware. How much tam is inside this earthenware? That teeny tipa, that's the only tam that's in there, right? So you can say, chaticha nasas nevela, you have to mevato the whole earthenware, but there's no tam in the whole earthenware. Gid hanasha is treif, but it's not lace and tam. We have concepts in Yiddishkeit of items that are non-kosher, but they don't treif other stuff up. So says the Chavastas, the whole Taz is like very nice for lomdus, but practically speaking, it can't become usher. The Chavastas writes, La halacha, may ikar hadina kfela would help. Okay? Bring every kfela you ever met and ask them to taste the cheres. Chew on it. Digest it. Right? It ain't going to taste like nothing. It might kill you if you eat cheres, but it's not going to taste like anything. Because, and therefore, says the Chavastas, to speak about chaticha nasas nevela on the cheres is impossible. So the Chavastas has a different beor in this Mordechai, which is a beor that maybe we'll discuss in Sadi Beis a little bit. It's based on a term called Mikushar that we will have to talk about. For now, let's just hold it and put it aside and let's go back to our discussion. Okay? So far, so good, gentlemen?
So he doesn't explain the Mordechai like Shach?
He has a third Perush in the Mordechai. It's not like the Shach, it's not like the Taz. Right, based on the idea of Mikushar that we'll have to discuss later on, Loachshav. The idea of Mikushar, by the way, is referenced in our Taz over here. The Taz says, look in Shumas Hadashen, Simen Kuf Pei Gimel. Right? If you look over there, you'll see the word Mikushar, not for now. Okay, we'll talk about that with Milchigas Spoons. Mr. Mandelman.
So the Machloket Shach Taz is whether or not Chanan Guf HaKeli is even a concept that.
The Chanan and Kalim is a concept that exists. That's correct. The Shach says, and the Shach's lashon is Vaday eino ole al hada'as sheguf hacheres yaseh nevela. Right? You can't even think about it. And by the way, it makes a certain amount of sense. Try to come home tonight and over dinner, explain to your wife that we learned about whether the guf hacheres becomes chaticha nasas neveila. It's going to be hard to explain. Correct? I mean, if you're able to do it, even your mishudeches, try to explain to your mishudeches about the guf hacheres nasas neveila, it's not going to be easy. Okay. Machlokes shachin taz, great. Now, back to the Darkei Moshe. The Ramon, the Darkei Moshe, tainas that according to the way the Beis Yosef understands the Torah, that la halacha we paskin like the Rashba, that there is Hanan in the Balua. So how could it be that in Simen Kuf Zayin, I only have to be mevatel the volume of the fly? The Chayra should have to be mevatel 59 times the volume of the fly based on Hanan in the Balua. Right? That is the Darkei Moshe's Kasha on the Beis Yosef. Liyashiv Kushya Hanal, the Taz has half a line where he is miyashiv this. The Taz says, we're going to learn later on that there's a fundamental machlaikis between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Ephraim about Chaticha Nasis Nevela. The Rabbeinu Ephraim Tainis, that Chaticha Nasis Nevela is a concept only by Basar B'Cholov. There's no such thing as Chaticha Nasis Nevela by Sha'ari Surim. You see, what's Chaticha Nasis Nevela? I have a piece of meat. The piece of meat has cholov on it. I don't view the meat like it is just a conveyor belt to bring the cholov from point A to point B. Rather, the entire piece of meat became treif. That's the rule of chaticha atzma nasis nevela. Now, by basar b'cholov, that makes sense. Because the basar kishala atzmo and the cholov kishala atzmo are both mutter. When they come together, you create a new cheftza of basar b'cholov. So there is a large school Rishonim, the school of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Chaticha Atzma Nasis Nevela is formulated only by Basar B'Cholov. By Sha'ari Surim, let's say I have noodles, and the noodles become treif because some chilev lands on those noodles. That does not mean that the noodles are themselves treif. That means that the noodles are a conveyor belt to transport the treif chilev from point A to point B. And consequently, when the noodles land in the second pot, I don't have to be mevatel the full volume of the noodles, I only have to be mevatel the amount of chilev that landed in that noodles mitchila. Because the din of Hanan, says the Rabbeinu Tam, is only by Basar B'Cholov, when each item on its own was Heter, Hanan is not on Sha'ari Surim. The Rabbeinu Ephraim disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Ephraim says that there is Hanan B'Sha'ari Surim also. Now, we spoke about this at one time. Is the din of Hanan B'Sha'ari Surim the same thing as the din of Tam Ke'ikar Min HaTorah? At first glance, it would sound the same, but we mentioned from the Rav that they're really different categories, and I don't want to review that right now, because I think they'll take us far afield. But the point is, there's a machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Ephraim, whether I say Hanan B'Sha'ar Isurim. Mr. Ben Keen.
Noodles that gets
top basar b'cholov. Noodles that
get basar b'cholov. Top basar b'cholov.
That's a big machlekes between the Shach and the Bach and Simen Kufes of cutting Yud Zayin. That's like advanced Shulchan Aruch studies, right? In other words, what we know so far is that everyone agrees that when basar absorbs cholov, I say chanan. Everyone agrees chaylev into noodles, or not everyone agrees. There's a machlekes about chaylev into noodles, whether we say chanan. When I have basar b'cholov into noodles, is a detailed machlokes, whether I treat that like chanan of basar b'cholov, that all would agree, or I treat that like chanan of sha'ari surim, which is mutal b'machlokes. Right? It's a machlokes if it's machlokes. Right? Okay? But comes along the Taz, and the Taz says, "Bazeh yicholam latareitz divrei hamechaber," because the mechaber says that I assume chanan bebalua en hachanami, right? The mechaber and the Beis Yosef Paskins, like the Rashba, that there is chanan bebalua. However, in Kuf Zayin, I'm talking about Sha'ari Surim. And the Mechaber holds La Halacha and Sadi Beis and elsewhere that there is no Chanan B'Sha'ari Surim. So yes, the Mechaber holds that there's Chanan B'Balua, meaning if I have a milchiga spoon, like the case I gave, I use my spoon in the morning to make oatmeal, and then I use the same spoon to stir my meatballs. So in that situation, I'll say Chanan and the Balua in the spoon, aval kol zeh is by the Chanan of Basar B'Chalav. But the Chanan of Sha'ar Isurim, the Mechaber denies Mikol V'Kol. If the Mechaber denies the category of Chanan B'Sha'ar Isurim, so therefore we understand why in Kuf Zayin, when I'm talking about a Zavuv, right? So therefore there is not going to be Chanan in the Balua over there. Not bad. Right? That's a distinction that the Taz suggests to be miyashiv the mechaber. If you look in the bottom of my Shulchan Aruch and in your Shulchan Aruch, I have no idea where they would be, but in the commentary, the Yad Avram says the same type of thing, although the Yad Avram phrases it as a kasha, the Taz phrases it as a teretz, but it's the same thing. Good? Now, this same idea of the distinction between Chanan of Basar B'Cholav versus Chanan of Sha'ar Isurim makes it one other time in our Se'if in Sadi Ches Hei. And the other time it makes it is the end of this Taz in Siv Katin Ches and the end of the Shach Siv Katin Chaf Aleph. You see, the Maharsha, remember, we spoke about whether there is Chanan on the Guf HaKeli, right? And we pointed out that the Mordechai says there is Chanan on the Guf HaKeli, at least the Mordechai as understood by the Taz. The Mordechai as understood by the Shah says that Chanan in the Guf HaKeli is a conceptual impossibility. Right? The Halacha, according to the Taz, Halacha L'maisa, meaning, the Ramah says that you should be Machmir on Chanan B'Guf HaKeli, as understood by the Taz, right? Remember, the Ramah says, like the Mordechai. What does that mean? Shach says that means Chanan in the Balua when it's Kli Cheres. But Chanan in the Balua by Kli Mateches, no such thing. That's the way the Shach understands the Ramah. The Taz says that, no, the Ramah means that the Guf HaKeli is going to be treif by Cheres, not by Mateches. However, when I say the Guf HaKeli by Cheres is going to be treif, as in the Taz's reading of the Ramah, that is only true when the Guf HaKeli absorbs Basar B'Cholav. If the Guf HaKeli absorbs Sha'ari Surim, it won't get treif, and that brings us to Ben Kin. Right? In other words, because in that situation, it has to be that it absorbs a piece, a shtickel Basar B'Cholav. Okay, gentlemen, I did not say a single chiddush today. I didn't say anything. I just explained the dinim, right? Like, and go through it. I hope it'll be easier to go through now, right? Now that you have kind of the roadmap for Tzadi Chesiv Hei. Did anyone of you finish Tzadi Chesiv Hei yet? You finished it. So I hope this clarified things, just because sometimes it gets complicated. Those of you who haven't done it yet, now you have a roadmap. What to do. So this is Tzadikha Se'if Hei. I think these are the basics. If people want, I have a few chidushim to say over here, but I'd rather not do them now. Let's first digest the Se'if, right? And I have a shtiko hezber in the machlok, a shach and taz, but that is old chazon lemoed. Okay, chevra? Have a wonderful day. Let's stop a minute.